We're glad to have you along to our Bible study and prayer meeting this evening. And we were to have a video of fame, but unfortunately that didn't work out for us. So a bit of a change of plan. It had to put up with me tonight. But we trust the Lord will meet with us as we meet around his word and as we come before the Lord in prayer. Let us all pray. Our gracious God and eternal Father in heaven, we come into thy presence in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the access that we have to the throne of grace. We thank you for the place we can obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And Father, we pray that thou wouldst bless us tonight as we meet around your word and as we come before the throne of grace in prayer. We pray that the Spirit of God will be poured out upon us, that we will be blessed and refreshed from thine almighty hand. We will be encouraged through thy word this evening and led out in the place of prayer. Oh, pour out thy Spirit upon us in these days. We need the Lord to come. We need the Lord to visit his church. We need the Lord to visit the land. We need the Lord to visit across the world. We pray for thy power and thy presence, that thou wilt do us good. Comfort thy people in these days. Encourage their hearts in the things of God. Open thy word by thy Holy Spirit to our hearts tonight. We pray in Jesus' name for God's eternal glory. Amen. I want to draw your attention to 1 Thessalonians, and we've been looking at the survey of the New Testament, and we're coming now to the study of 1 Thessalonians. We're going to read together through this first chapter of 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 1. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labour of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. Ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction, with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that we were ensamples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which hath delivered us from wrath to come. Amen. And we know that God will bless the reading of his precious, inerrant, inspired, and infallible word to all of our hearts. And so we come to the survey of the New Testament again in our Bible study, and we're looking at 1 Thessalonians. And what a wonderful epistle this is again, to strengthen us and to encourage us in our Christian lives and to lead us on with the Lord Jesus Christ in these days in which we live, days of great challenge for the Church of God and days that we need to face with confidence and with the assurance that the Lord is with us, even through all of the dark passages of life. A father took his son to a large city museum, thinking that the visit would entertain the boy. But for 2 hours, all the lad did was sigh and complain. Maybe that's been your experience with a member of your family, a child or a grandchild. But finally, in desperation, he said to his father, "Dad, let's go someplace where things are real. And you know, sometimes when people read the Bible, they think they are in a religious museum, looking at ancient artifacts that have no meaning for life in today's scientific world. But they are wrong. No book published has more meaning for our lives and more relevance for our problems than the Bible. A man who was known as Yale's most inspiring professor, William Lyon Phelps, he said this: "I believe a knowledge of the Bible without a college course is more valuable than a college course without a Bible." And how important the Bible is. It is not dated. It is right up to date and so relevant for our lives from day to day. Two of Paul's earliest letters were these epistles, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. And these two letters were written by the Apostle Paul to real people who were experiencing real problems in a world that was not friendly to their Christian faith. And we can very easily today identify with these people, because we live in a similar world and face many of the same problems that these people here, to whom Paul wrote at Thessalonica, experience. There are three things that I want to focus upon as we think about this church here and this first letter to the church at Thessalonica. First of all, we think about the formation of this church. Luke explained how Paul came to Thessalonica and how the church was formed. And you'll find that in the book of the Acts, chapter 17, and the first 15 verses. You remember how Paul had been at Philippi in Acts chapter 16, and that had been so successful, and God had worked mightily in that particular region. You think of the conversion of Lydia, and you think of the wonderful deliverance of the damsel. You think also of the wonderful salvation that was wrought in the heart of the jailer and in the members of his household. And so God had been moving through the ministry of Paul. And then he travels from Philippi some 100 miles to Thessalonica. And here Paul goes into the synagogue, and he put before his hearers in a very orderly manner the scriptures, the word of God, and how able he was in presenting the scriptures. And he did this in such a manner, showing them how the scriptures harmonized together. He preached to them. The word preach that's used here means to proclaim, to announce. He did not simply teach the scriptures. He proclaimed Christ and urged his listeners to receive Christ by faith. We learn much from Paul's ministry, from his missionary journey, from all that he was involved in for the Lord Jesus Christ. We learn much from Paul's approach to evangelism. He used the word of God, and he declared the Son of God. He started where people were, and he led them to the truth of the gospel. We discover here that he ministered in the synagogue for three Sabbaths, and the Lord worked in power. The Bible tells us there in the 17th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles what the Lord did and how the Lord worked. In verse 4 of Acts 17, "And some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, of the devout Greeks a great multitude, and of the chief women not a few. So you see how God worked here. He worked in power. Souls were brought to Christ. And even though Paul's ministry here was not a long one, yet he taught these young believers a great deal of basic Bible doctrine. He sought to ground them in the faith. He sought to nourish them, the words of faith and of good doctrine. Almost every major doctrine of the Christian faith is mentioned in these two letters, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. And he left behind in Thessalonica a thriving church. There are several lessons to be learned from the formation of this church. First of all, God uses people. God uses people. And how down through the centuries of time that has been so. It has pleased God to use people who are despised and people who are not considered to be anything in the world's terms. And yet God uses people. And God was pleased to use Paul as a mighty instrument in his hands, and many others too. And he's still using people today. He can use you and I in his service and for his glory and for his honor. But then we discover in the second place that the gospel is still the power of God unto salvation. Romans chapter 1 verse 16 tells us that. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. And that power can be still demonstrated today and still is being demonstrated today in the hearts and lives of men and women and young people across this world. And this is still the day of grace. God is still working. And God is still moving in hearts and lives. The gospel is still the power of God unto salvation. And the next thing is this. That God's power was effective. And the church was formed in less than a month. Bible tells us that the gospel came to them not in word only. Chapter 1 of 1 Thessalonians, verse 5. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. And so the word of God was effective. And then we notice also that Satan still opposes the gospel and persecutes God's people. But you know, persecution can be a means of growth. The devil often oversteps himself. And how in the word of God we read that in times of great persecution, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. We read that in Acts chapter 8. And how God's church in the midst of persecution is still growing today. And we see how God's Spirit strengthens and encourages suffering saints as they go through the difficulties of their Christian life. Maybe you're going through hard times at the minute. Difficulties in your family situation, as far as your work is concerned, just in the world in general, and just coping with this pandemic and all that's going on around you. Has caused you great challenge and difficulty. But the Lord is coming alongside his church to strengthen and sustain us in the time of need. And how this church that was formed through the ministry of Paul, through human instrumentality, became a strong church for the Lord. The formation of this church. But then I want you to see his feeling toward this church. You see, Paul had a care for all the churches and a love and a concern and he had a love and concern for this church. He had left the city of Thessalonica hastily by night, and he did not want them to think that he had deserted them. And so Paul assured his readers of his love for them, his honesty in ministering to them. He wanted to ground them in the doctrines of the Christian faith, and especially in relation to his return. He sought to give them encouragement in a time of great discouragement. And by reminding them of the truths of the Christian faith and what God had done for them in Christ, he encouraged them to stand firm and to maintain their strong witness. He also encouraged them to live holy lives. And what an encouragement. As we read through 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians 2, as we will come to it, that how the Lord wants us to live in this evil world, and how he wants us to be strong and steadfast and to be faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ, not to turn aside, not to be shifted, not to be blown about by every wind of doctrine, but to be fixed in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and to be focused upon the Saviour. And such was the feeling, the heart of Paul towards this church, that he sought to instruct them that any confusions which they would be having would be removed. Also to correct some weaknesses in this church. For example, some not respecting the honour and honouring their spiritual leaders as they should. Chapter 5, 1 Thessalonians verses 12 and 13. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labour among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. And so we sought to give direction and help to this church in relation to these matters, to correct things that were wrong. And others, when you go to 2 Thessalonians refusing to work, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 6, and we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, not after the tradition which we have received of us. And so he is seeking to correct them in regard to walking with those who followed a course that was disorderly. And so Paul had a feeling for this church. He sought to help them in every way he could, so that this church might walk in a way that was pleasing in the sight of the Lord, in a way that brought glory and honour to the name of the Saviour. And so we have the formation of this church. We have his feeling towards this church. But then we have the favour shown to this church. You see, each church to which Paul wrote had known God's favour. And what is the special favour that is shown to this church? This church of Thessalonica. It is a message of the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, the coming again of the Saviour, the second advent of the Lord Jesus Christ, and how this vital doctrine can affect our lives and our churches and make us more spiritual. You will notice, you take time, as I trust you will, to read through 1 Thessalonians. Every chapter ends with a reference to the coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ. And each reference relates the doctrine to a practical aspect of Christian living. For example, chapter 1, verse 10, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from wrath to come. To wait for his Son from heaven. To wait for the Lord Jesus Christ and his return. Are you waiting for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ? And then, in chapter 2, verses 19 and 20, for what is our hope or our joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? And again, he's speaking about his coming. For ye are our glory and joy. And he's speaking here about salvation and assurance. And then, of course, he's talking further in chapter 3, verses 11 to 13, about this same matter. Now God himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you, and that the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another, toward all men, even as we do toward you. To the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. And again, the reference to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the importance here of stability in our Christian living. How we ought to live as become the saints of God. How we ought to walk before man, the light of his coming again. And then, of course, when we come to chapter 4, verses 13 to 18, speaking again, and that context is very well known, I suppose, to most, and often referred to. Again, the thought is here, strength in sorrow. And the Lord Jesus speaks here about comfort in this portion. And also verse 13, if you look at it, chapter 4, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope, strength in the midst of sorrow. How the Lord would draw alongside us to give us strength in the midst of sorrow. And as we think about his return in that particular context. And then at the end, he says, the end of chapter 4, verse 18, wherefore comfort one another with these words. These are words of comfort. When we think about the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are comforted by these scriptures. They relate to the detail of his return and how there is hope for the child of God and the glorious prospect that awaits us in glory itself, being with the Lord. Then chapter 5 again, verses 23 to 24, he speaks about this. The very God of peace sanctify you wholly. I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Speaking here about sanctification of life. In other words, Paul did not look at this doctrine of the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ as a theory to be discussed, but as a truth to be lived. There are many people who want to discuss it and want to argue about it and differ and enter into all sorts of speculation about the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. But this is a truth to be lived out as far as our Christian lives are concerned. And Paul is seeking to teach these Thessalonians and to teach us and to instruct us today in relation to these matters. And so we see the formation of this church. We see how the Lord blessed the ministry of the Apostle Paul. We see his feeling towards this church, and we see the favor shown to this church. That Paul was able to give them words of comfort, words of consolation in the midst of their situation. So God comes to us today in the midst of all of our trials and troubles of life and all of those days of darkness that we're going through presently. And who knows, may have to yet go through even greater darkness in days to come. Traumas, tears, troubles of all sorts, trials that press us on every side. We're beyond measure, cast down. But yet the Lord would come to us with his word. As he came to this church, uplifting words, encouraging words, strengthening words to help us in our time of need. You may find a key verse in this epistle. I like to refer to 1 Thessalonians 4 and 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. You may choose another key verse. But I think that this is an important verse in this chapter. You may look at the chapter summaries to help you to follow through on the study and reading of the book, a word or a verse that will relate to each chapter, so that you'll be able to find the context of each chapter and study it through for yourself. And I pray that the Lord will encourage you through the words of this epistle and cause your soul to be blessed through the reading and meditation and study of the Word of God. The Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And I pray tonight that the Lord will write his word upon your heart, that you might be strengthened and helped in your Christian life, and led out now as we come to the place of prayer, that we will spend time in our homes tonight and call upon God and cry to God for blessing and for the outpouring of his Spirit, for the visitation of God upon his work in these times. Do remember our sister Mary as she comes to have this operation, God willing, on Saturday afternoon, to pray for that it will go ahead, that the COVID test this week will be favourable, that it will be negative and she'll get the operation. Remember others too, going through difficult times with loved ones who are ill or themselves having illness. Pray that God will intervene and touch them and heal them, restore them. Pray for our land at this time, in the midst of this pandemic, and for our health service, doctors, nurses, all in the front line. Pray that the vaccination process will speed up, that many will be vaccinated in days to come, that the Lord in his long suffering will again be merciful to our land, to our nation, and to this world. And through this awful pandemic, turn many to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray for our families too, that may come to Christ. Let us engage in prayer. And we encourage you then to follow on in your homes in prayer together, please. Our gracious God and Father, we come to thee in the precious name of the Lord Jesus. We do seek your face, Lord, that your word will be written upon our hearts tonight. And Father, that you'll lead us on with yourself in these days of great darkness. We think of this awful pandemic. Pray for thine intervention in it. And we pray that thou wilt stop the spread. Thank thee for, O God, your hand upon our land and our nation so far, this world. But Lord, many have lost their lives and many are sick tonight. And many hospitals under pressure, great pressure. Pray for help for nurses and doctors, those who work in hospitals. In any way, those who work in care homes, care in the community, frontline workers, Lord, key workers, we pray for thy help and we pray for thine intervention. We pray that thou wilt stop the spread of this virus. Use the vaccines and other treatments, O God, to help with people's recovery. Pray for those that have had it and are still suffering the effects of having it. Lord, we pray that they'll fully recover in the weeks and months ahead. Pray for thy hand upon our sister Mary as she goes for this surgery. Lord, be with her and heal her. Restore her, that this operation will take place as is planned for this coming Saturday. Bless George and the family. Help them. Remember others, O God, who need thy touch at this time. We pray for many in the congregation who have illnesses and, Lord, who have issues of health. We pray that thou wilt touch, heal and restore to wanted health and strength again. Cry to thee, O God, for thine intervention in the situations that they find themselves in. We pray for Dr. Wilson, who's been ill. Put thy healing hand upon him. Lord, we pray for Errol McDowell, that thou wilt touch him and heal him, restore. Remember Eric Barnes, his wife, that she will be restored to health and strength. And others in the congregation, Lord, we cry that thou wilt touch, heal. Remember Carl Stripp, touch Carl. Remember Maureen, give grace and help in that situation too. Lord, we just look to thee, O God, that thou wilt bless the work of God and the word of God as it goes out. Bless our presbytery, give wisdom. You know, these are hard times, not being able to meet as we normally met. But Lord, thou hast a purpose. We pray that as the word goes out, by other means, they'll be used for thy glory, to the salvation of souls. Save souls in the families of the church, those long prayed for. Lord, may they be swept into the kingdom of God, that thou art long suffering, again will reach out to them in mercy and draw them in saving faith to Christ. Have mercy upon our land. Guide our government in all the decisions they have to make. And answer prayer, we pray, for we ask it in Jesus' name and for God's eternal glory. Amen.